Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Saving Lives in Slow Motion. Now, today's episode is a bit unusual. It's off the cuff and it's about grief. Now, the reason it's off the cuff is because I very recently lost my father, and I think it's important to talk about grief and bereavement because it's something I'm going through quite acutely at the moment. And I have a lot of things that have been in my mind for the last few weeks, which are quite random but all interconnected. For example, what it's like to be a sick inpatient in hospital and what that involves. Also, what constitutes a good death in hospital. And I have to say, on the record, I think my dad did have a good end to his life. But also, as a GP, I've seen so much grief and bereavement over the years. But this is the first time I've experienced it, and it's exactly as people say, nothing quite prepares you for it. And I'm talking from the point of view as a son who's lost a parent, but of course there are lots of different types of grief. People lose siblings or even children, and I to me that is unthinkable. So I'm just going to sort of free form, which is what I like to do anyway on the pod. And as always, there will be some links that you can look at in the show notes, which I think is important. The first thing I'd like to sort of acknowledge, I think, is that certainly as a medic, my framework for grief, what we were taught years ago, was the Kubler-Ross model of grief, which is often known as DABDA, which is denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And I remember in the very early days, whenever there was a situation where someone had passed away and I was talking to a relative, I would almost have that in my head, in the background, and find it very difficult and quite awkward, I have to say, in terms of knowing what the right thing is to say to a bereaved relative. I don't think that gets any easier, actually, as time goes on. And I've noticed since losing my dad, actually, that people handle that information in different ways. So I've had a huge amount of support from really good friends and family, and then actually not as great support from some people who I thought might be more supportive. But that's not anyone's fault, it's just that everyone deals with the issue differently, and a lot of people just don't know what to say and they're looking for an out in the conversation. And I've noticed that quite a lot, which is fine, it's just an observation, and I'm sure I've been exactly the same when on the other side of the coin. There's also an element of how you prepare for grief. So actually in my dad's case, he had been quite unwell for 6 or 7 weeks. And I think I'd come round to thinking, look, this is probably not going to end well. And he very well may end up not recovering and coming out of hospital. And that was always in the back of my mind. So as a family, I think we were quite prepared that he was possibly going to deteriorate, which is exactly what happened. So in that sense, compared to a sudden unexpected death where there's absolutely no warning, we were blessed in some ways, because everything I needed to say to Dad, all of the kind of, remembering the good times and saying I love you and I thank you and all of that stuff, I was very lucky because I got to do that, and I think that is a real blessing, and I know a lot of people aren't able to do that. What makes things very difficult, I think, is that there's just so much to do when you're trying to grieve. You don't really have much chance to get your head around it. You know, you have to suddenly register the death, and there's death certificates, then there's probate and informing, you know, the bank and all of this sort of admin stuff. And it keeps you busy, in inverted commas. That's a phrase that I hear quite a lot of. And then, of course, planning the funeral, which is also difficult, because you're suddenly arranging something that is, well, it's something you know is going to happen, usually, you know, because we sort of, you know, all of us die. But it's tough. It's really hard. It's almost, and it sounds silly saying this, but you have to, you know, we have to arrange, obviously, a wake and invite people. It, very similar to what you do if you've been married, you know, when you're arranging a wedding, except the energy is totally different and the emotion that goes alongside it is totally different. And actually, the day of the funeral, I found, you know, we were, well, in between arranging the funeral and the day of the funeral, there's this massive feeling of tension. Don't really know what to do with yourself. I certainly didn't. And, you know, kind of milling around the house. Again, lots of stuff to do in terms of form filling, but it's hard to do that when you're in anticipation of the funeral. And you know, the funeral itself was wonderful. It was so emotional because you're suddenly, you know, my brother and I did the eulogy, and you're suddenly facing people that you've not seen in many years, or you should have been seeing more regularly. And just because everyone's busy, you haven't, you know, your best friends and family in the world are suddenly there. And then one of my dad's friends did a lovely tribute to him, which was very emotional. And also, you find out things about your loved one that you never knew. For example, my dad was famed for his abilities as a mentor, and so many people have come out and said, oh, if it wasn't for him, I would never have got that job, or if it wasn't for your dad, I'd never have passed this exam, or oh, I turned up at, one chap actually turned up at dad's place of work, the Royal Sussex County Hospital in Brighton, where he worked, and, you know, for 25 years or more as a consultant. And in fact, that's where he passed away as well. But many years ago, someone actually turned up there and asked career advice. And my dad sort of came out of his clinic, spent half an hour with him and gave him some guidance. And now this person is extremely successful in a field that he hadn't thought about going into. So, you know, those things are wonderful to hear. And I think that's been one of the joys of grief, in a way. It sounds odd saying that there are moments of joy, but there definitely are. Of course, the world carries on and work is busy and everything and everyone else doesn't really stop. So at some point, you know, business as usual, which is a phrase I hate actually, but needs to recommence. But I mean, I know people who've had to have several months off in order to just recover from the immediate aftermath of a bereavement. And, you know, that doesn't mean that it's all over. It's odd, as a practitioner, I've had to sort of partly counsel patients, although I'm not qualified in bereavement counselling, but be there for them in terms of support. And I guess, you know, one of the things I've noticed is that bereavement and grief is very much a wave. You just don't know how you're going to feel day to day. So for me, I feel quite sad in the mornings, I think. But then as the day goes on, not so much. And what's helped me is, I think, one of the things about a loved one passing away is that they're with you forever once they have gone. And on a spiritual level, you know, Dad is just with us all the time now. And although Mum is still very much around, my worries, you know, these fleeting worries about, oh, you know, what's going to happen when, you know, if this happens to Dad, or if Dad does this, or, you know, all those worries are gone now because they're not relevant. But he is sort of around forever. It's a really odd feeling. I was trying to explain to someone the other day that actually I can predict exactly what my dad would say, you know, whatever I'm doing or wherever I am, if Dad was, you know, if I'm in the garden and I'm moving the garden bench, if Dad was around, I know what he would be thinking or saying, you know. And it's wonderful in a way, you know, he's more in my thoughts now than he ever was when he was alive, which is of course makes sense because he's not around, he's never coming back physically. So yeah, and I'm sure that rings true to anyone else who's lost a loved one, that palpable feeling that they are with you. I think it's also brought into sharp focus things that are really important in my life and people who are important. I think that's part of the grief and bereavement process, and I've noticed I've become a lot more essentialist in terms of what I will do, what I won't do, and what I'll tolerate. Because ultimately, the most important thing that we have in life is time. And I really believe that more than ever now. It's also making me much more mindful as a parent myself. And hey, you know, no parent is perfect. But you know, I was very lucky. And when I think that in my own dad's case, his father passed away when he was two, so he didn't have a dad character at home at all. He did a really good job, for which I'm grateful. And, you know, we're all doing our best, and I'm really going to sort of be mindful about being a better dad, I think, because, you know, there is something, particularly I think if you're the older son and your father passes away, you are sort of stepping into something that I can't quite put into words. But, you know, it's almost like the buck stops with you now in terms of the family and, you know, all those things where I might have thought, oh, no, Dad knows that, or Dad will sort that out. You know, that suddenly falls to you on both a superficial level as well as, you know, the bigger picture in terms of what it means when a generation passes. I think the thing that's really helped me the most is just the massive outpouring of support. I've had so many kind messages, cards, flowers. It's been really overwhelming, but incredibly strengthening, I think is the word I'd use, because you need a lot of strength emotionally, physically, to get through this period. As for the future and what happens, I don't think anyone ever gets over grief. This idea of moving on is nonsense, in my opinion. You never sort of move on from bereavement. And my take on this is that I want to make sure that I spend quality time with the people that are important to me and make sure that I'm up to date with everything they're doing. You just never know when your time's up. And ultimately, you know, Dad had a good life, a great life. And we've got to be thankful for that as a family. So I hope you don't mind. That was quite self-indulgent, really. But just my musings on grief and some thoughts from both sides of the coin. I am going to post some links so that you can have a look at, you know, some theories around grief and also some other types of grief, like transgenerational grief, which I think are very interesting. And, you know, I just like to dedicate this episode to my dad, who really, you know, could have written a book about his life in terms of his humble roots to where he got is quite some achievement. And yeah, he was an amazing man. Love you, miss you. That's my dad, of course, not you, the listeners. But to you, the listeners, thank you for listening, and I will be with you again in a couple of weeks' time. I hope that's been of some use, and you're able to reflect on some of the themes. Take care.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.